when man was lost in sin, no peace could be found. God proved his love to him when he sent his only son. Then he came to be that perfect living sacrifice. Jesus came through for all mankind on Calvary.
Greetings in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Pastor N.R. Davis of the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. I am the pastor of the Abiding Light Church here on the west side of Manchester, and you're tuning in today to the Walking in the Light radio broadcast that comes to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30. We're delighted to have you with us today on this radio broadcast. We're going to be doing a study, and this is a series that we have started last week on revival. What is revival? What takes place with revival? We hear this word oftentimes mentioned in churches and talked about, but what is real, true, genuine revival? And we have with us Pastor Rick DeRocher, a Bible teacher for over 25 years at the Deliverance Bible Institute in Portland, Maine. He's going to be continuing this series today on revival. So we'll be turning over the remainder of this radio broadcast over to Brother DeRocher. We will be turning the remainder of this radio broadcast over to Pastor DeRocher to teach and preach on revival.
Zechariah 4 and 6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. We don't need a work of man. Many think emotion, fast singing, clapping is revival. We can go to a sporting event and find people clapping and singing and jumping up and down, and God is not in that. We thank God for what he does, and there is a response to the moving of the Holy Ghost. But man cannot work as God works, and man cannot produce what God alone can do. Not by might, not by the might of flesh, not by our ability, not by our power, not by our intellect, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. The talents of man cannot change lives. Flesh cannot produce revival. And again, we've been discussing this term, revival. This is a word that's used much today, revival meetings, revival services, revival campaigns. What does this word revival mean? A revival is an awakening from slumber. Paul the Apostle wrote, inspired by the Holy Ghost, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee life. Awakening from sleep. The church as a whole today is asleep. Jesus described this Laodicean church period as being lukewarm, not cold, not hot. And thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And knowest not thou art wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, and naked. Many in the church today are not even aware of their condition, that they are lukewarm. We need today a revival, an awakening back to the things of God. Not a work that can be done by the hands of a man. And this is what the prophet meant when he said, Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And the prophet was speaking in the word of the Lord, not the words of man, not the words of a man. but the word of God. God's ways are far above the ways of a man. Isaiah saw the Lord, and he was high and lifted up. And his train did fill the temple. The glory of God filled the temple. Isaiah got a glimpse of the glory of God. God's ways are above the ways of man. Nothing is impossible with God. God has not changed. I am the Lord, I change not. The church has changed. Many today have changed. Men are falling away. And the Bible tells us one of the signs of the last days will be a great falling away. And there has been today a great falling away from the word of God, from the faith, and they are fulfilling the words of Jesus Christ. The church is not cold, not hot, but many are lukewarm. But we are praying for a revival, an awakening back to the things of God. And man must work with God. Again, back to the prayer of Habakkuk the prophet. O Lord, revive thy work. This was a prayer. God, give us a revival. Revive thy work. Not our work, but your work. You do the work, Lord. We need you to breathe. We need you to move. We need you to manifest your power. We must move with God. When God called the children of Israel out of Egypt, he went before them by day as a pillar of cloud, and by night as a pillar of fire. And when the cloud moved, Israel moved. When the pillar moved, Israel moved. We need to learn to move with God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. God's work is mighty. Jeremiah put it this way, great in counsel and mighty in work. For thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men. Great and mighty is the work of our God. Mighty in power. Mighty to save. The weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. We're not fighting flesh and blood. But they are mighty through God to the tearing down of the strongholds of the enemy. And we are praying for the same power of the Holy Ghost that moved in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 tells us, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. The Holy Ghost will give us power to witness, power to preach, power to reach the souls of men. Paul the Apostle was one of the greatest educated men of all time. But yet Paul the Apostle said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit of God and with power. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. If there ever was a day, if there ever was an hour where the church needs the power of the Holy Ghost, it is today. We live in a wicked generation. We live in a wicked day. But where sin abounds, grace did much more abound. We thank God for his word. We are believing the word of God. We look to God's word. God's word must be our final authority. Not the words of a man, not man's ideas, not man's thoughts, but the word of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed. That word inspired means God breathed. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. God breathed the words of life. And the Bible is more than just dead letter. The Bible is the word of God. The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. We're praying for a revival. God determines the times of outpouring. And there have been many great and mighty moves of God. Not a work of man, as we read in our text, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Many preachers like to quote or read or even try to preach that famous sermon by Jonathan Edwards, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, that was part of that first great awakening in the 1700s, that revival fires came throughout New England, but that was not produced by a man. That was not the workings of a man. Edwards read that sermon word for word from a paper. And as he began to read that sermon, the convicting power of the Holy Ghost fell into that church, and people threw themselves down in the altar and got down on the floor and repented and prayed and called on God. And that was the seeds and the birthing of a revival and awakening and outpouring of the Holy Ghost that swept through New England. But it began by prayer. Revival, a moving of the Holy Ghost, will only come by prayer. God works as he chooses, but God works at specific times. When Israel came out of Egypt, God had a timetable set. And that's why the devil tried to kill the babies, because he knew that 400 years was coming soon and that God would raise up a deliverer. And the devil tried to kill those baby males, but God kept one little baby from being slain. The little baby Moses was put in that ark of bulrushes, in that ark of safety, and God raised up a deliverer at the appointed time. And God moves at appointed times. When Israel came out of Babylonian captivity, the Bible says that Daniel understood by books the number of years of captivity. 70 years were determined. 70 years were appointed. But there was a time of going back to that promised land. There was a time of returning to the promised land. And we understand that God moves on a timetable. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. God appointed that day of Pentecost to be the day of the birthing of the church and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we've looked to the prophet Joel chapter 2. God promised to send the rain, the former rain moderately, and the latter rain in his season. God will send the rain. The church was birthed in power. What those disciples could not do in their own, they accomplished through the power of the Holy Ghost. Peter was afraid at the fire. Peter was afraid at the crucifixion. Peter quit when he saw Christ die. He said, I'm going fishing. Peter quit. And Peter did not understand the fullness of the plan of God. But Jesus said, tarry in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And in Acts chapter 2, Peter got up and preached, empowered by the Holy Ghost. And he preached Christ crucified and coming again. And 3,000 souls were saved that day through the preaching of one man. Was that the work of a man? Oh, no, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And God has appointed to pour out his Spirit in these last days, to bring an awakening one more time. We've had awakenings. That first great awakening with Jonathan Edwards, George Whitefield, John Wesley, They tried to put Wesley out of the church. Wesley stood in the open air. What caused large crowds to come and hear the preaching of Wesley in Whitfield? Was it just their oratory skill? Was it their great preaching? They were great men of God indeed, but God was doing something to the church. This was a work of God to awaken the church, to revive the church, and to bring the people back to God. Thousands of people came to hear Wesley preach as he stood outside of his father's church. He preached in the open air. Several thousand people came, drawn by the Holy Ghost, to hear the preaching of John Wesley. This was not the work of a man. This was the work of God. And this is what we mean by an awakening, by a revival, not a work of man. Not revival brought in a suitcase, not revival meetings advertised, some evangelists to come and have revival meetings, but the breath of God, a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind that filled all the house where they were sitting, believing God for an outpouring of the rain. Second great awakening, God raised up Charles Grandison Finney, D.L. Moody, Charles Spurgeon, and we keep talking about these revivals because they are our example. Not looking to dead works and dead men, but these are our example of how God has moved in the past. And what God required of those men, He'll require of us today because God hasn't changed. God used those men mightily to bring about an awakening, and there have been awakenings throughout the course of church history. Many revivals, many moves of God. The great Welsh revival, when Evans Roberts began to pray a simple prayer, "Bend thou me, O God. Let revival begin with me. Bend this spirit. Bend this man. Let me die out. Bend thou me, O God. Let revival begin with me." There was a great awakening at the turning of the century. The power of Pentecost swept around the world. In Los Angeles, California, the Azusa Street revival that we've heard much about, God ordained to pour out His Spirit. But it did not mean that men and women, the saints of God, did not have to pray. We're told to pray for the rain in the season of the latter rain. And we understand from the Bible that we're in the season of the latter rain. I believe we're on the brink of the greatest outpouring of the Holy Ghost ever to come to this world of sin. The church was birthed in power. And before Christ comes back, He will manifest His power one more time. Not a work of man, not just emotional singing, not just the mega church mentality. We have many big churches today that draw a crowd, but sad to say, the Holy Ghost is nowhere to be found in those services. God, bring us back to an old-fashioned altar. Bring us back to the Word of God. We believe in the Bible. We believe in the cover, the Holy Bible. The word Bible simply means books. We believe that a holy God gave us a holy book inspired by the Holy Ghost to produce a holy people in these last days that will live for Him. Not a work that we can do, but a work of God. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. The greatest rain is yet to come. God sent the rain at the right time. And the greatest rain came right before the final harvest to develop that fruit, to mature that fruit, to prepare the harvest to be picked. The last rain came right before the final harvest. We're in the last days. We're right before the final harvest, and the God of heaven will pour out his Spirit one more time. But we need to pray. To pray and to seek God in faith. Faith is not blindly acting on our own impulses. Faith is obeying the word of God. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, the rhema. There are two words in the Greek for that English word. One is logos. John 1:1, in the beginning was the word, the logos. But John 1:1 is logos, and Romans 10:17 is rhema. Hearing by the word, that revealed word. How are you going to hear the written word? You hear the divine utterance. As God reveals his word to your heart, to your spirit, when God speaks a word to you, that is where faith is produced. Many have pulled scriptures out of context and said, I'm walking by faith, and they died in their disease because God didn't speak to them. But when God gives you a word, you can take it to the bank. You can count on it that God will do what he said that he will do. Believing the word of God. The prophet Elijah was on Mount Carmel, and he prayed down the fire. But God told him, and you can find that in 1 Kings 18:1, go and show thyself to Ahab, and I will send rain. So the prophet had to be obedient to the word of God and do something, to go to Ahab, and I will send rain. It had not rained in 3.5 years. There was a famine in the land. But God said, I'm going to send the rain. And it seems like now in this time of the end days that there is a famine of the word of God. There is a famine of the power of the Holy Ghost. If we're honest with ourselves, where is the power of the Holy Ghost? Yes, we've seen miracles. Jesus has not changed. He went about doing good and healing all that came unto him. He has not changed. If he healed yesterday, he heals today. But for the most part, today in the church, where is the power of God? Where is the power of the Holy Ghost? There was a day the saints of God would gather and pray. If a person was sick, dying, they would touch heaven for that person. Now today they call in hospice, or they pray for God to guide the doctor's hands. We thank God for the doctors and what they do, but we thank God for the great physician that walks into the room, who does not need the hands of man, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord, Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that healeth thee, and he still heals today. By his stripes we are healed. And we thank God that we have seen the healing power of God here at the Abiding Light Church. Nothing that the pastors can do, but Jesus Christ is the healer, and he's still healing today. Elijah moved on the word, and he told Ahab, get thee up, I hear the sound of rain. And he told the servant to go and look to the sea. And the servant looked and said, I don't see anything. And that's like many Christians today. I don't see anything. We don't see that. We don't preach it that way in our church. But the prophet said, look again. And the man of God, Elijah, prayed. Even though he had the word, he was moving on the word, he was acting on the word, he was standing on the word, he prayed. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And he prayed, and God sent the rain.
As we begin to close this broadcast today, we thank you for tuning in. This is Pastor N.R. Davis of the Walking in the Light radio broadcast that comes to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30. We are delighted that you were listening to us today, talking about this series on revival. The need for our day and our hour is a genuine outpouring of God's Spirit. And we thank you for tuning in and listening to this broadcast on revival. Now, if you'd like to, you can reach us at abidinglightchurch.com. You can go to our website at abidinglightchurch.com. If you'd like to come and visit us for a church service, we'd be more than happy and delighted to have you come. We have our regular Sunday services at 11 o'clock and 7 o'clock in the evening. And we have our Wednesday night Bible studies. And we would love to have you come out if you just want to visit or if you're looking for a home church. We're a multicultural church, and we'd love to have you come out and be with us in a service. So once again, until next Saturday, this is Pastor N.R. Davis. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless you.